It really just amazes me the lengths to which politicians and other officials in Washington, D.C. will go to in order to pass the buck, right? Blame someone else. This is actually a pretty dangerous phenomenon if you think of it, because I think the creep towards socialism starts here. The creep towards Venezuela-style socialism begins with Joe Biden, and we're seeing it echoed throughout Washington, D.C. today, including with our own head of the Federal Reserve now making excuses, somehow blaming Americans and their demand levels instead of his own money printing for the trouble we have now. Couple that with Joe Biden blaming big oil. We have ourselves a bit of a problem, America, and it's time that everybody wake up and focus on it. Hello, I'm Trish Regan. Welcome. It's good to have you here. Make sure that you subscribe to the channel. Make sure that you sign up, hit the bell, get the alerts. Make sure you're getting the emails on Rumble. You're getting the alerts there on YouTube. Follow me on Locals at well, trishregan.locals.com, where you can actually communicate directly with me. Parts of today's program are sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals, especially if you're worried about inflation like I am, than right now. So go to legacypminvestments.com for more. Again, legacypminvestments.com for more. We can talk about gold in just a little bit. But first, I want to start with the President of the United States, again, going after big oil, now actually finally agreeing to maybe the idea of a tax break for American consumers who are struggling at the gas pumps, because this thing has gotten so far out of hand. I mean, he's tried everything. Nothing's working. Nothing's working because he's not actually addressing the fundamental root causes of inflation. I sound like Kamala Harris on the border, where, yes, we have to address that as well. But let's start here with why we have inflation in the first place. And it is because of overly aggressive government spending to the tune of $1.9 trillion, courtesy of the Democrats, as well as the stimulus, multiple stimulus checks that came out, including the third one with Joe Biden when he first came into office. And then, of course, you tap into the Fed's never-ending money stream by way of all the money printing they did, and you got yourselves one big problem, coupled, of course, with the increase in demand as the economy reopens. So consequently, yes, higher energy, higher food prices, it's all quite natural. And frankly, if anybody had two brain cells there in Washington, D.C., they could have seen coming. Or maybe they should have listened to this show and then they could have seen it coming too, because I know all you did, because you know I did. And we've been talking about it now, really going on 2 years, the problems that this would present, which are in the here and now. Anyway, Joe Biden is really kind of pulling what I would call a Chavez-style move. This is right out of the playbook of Hugo Chavez, go back 22 years ago in Venezuela, where he blamed everyone except for his own government for the problems that the Venezuelan economy was struggling with. And you look at what's happening now, and Joe Biden's doing the exact same thing. It's somehow big oil's fault. Now, again, I'm pleased about the idea of maybe a tax break for the American consumers. I like to say I never met a tax break that I didn't like. I think it's so important to always be putting money back into the hands of the consumers, given that we are a market-based capitalist economy. That said, it's taken him a while to get here, has it not? I mean, he's just grasping at straws. He's done everything he can. Could. I mean, the SPR thing, that didn't work. Filling up the strategic releasing, the strategic petroleum reserve, that didn't work. You know, maybe after this relief on taxes, if he gets it, maybe the only thing left is to actually think about drilling more. I mean, that might actually be the solution here, maybe to have a little bit more of a positive spin on the energy sector, because you see, nobody's wanting to invest. Can you blame them when you get the president just slamming the sector constantly? Remember what Chavez did in Venezuela? He actually kicked all the European and American companies out of the very valuable Orinoco region. And so all the technology that the Western companies could have brought there, American companies, all the terrific technology to get that heavy tar-like oil out of the ground, well, they couldn't do it because he sent them packing, right? He took over their businesses. Joe Biden is threatening something not entirely dissimilar. Let me share with you some of the comments from his recent letter. By the way, Chevron's CEO is firing back today in a pretty meaningful way, just basically calling his bluff here, saying, listen, buddy, you actually get to talk about real stuff. We actually have to have a real conversation. You cannot just criticize and at times vilify our industry, he says. And that's a That's a quote there from the Chevron CEO. Anyway, the president of the United States had basically said, it's not right how much money the oil companies are making. He said, at a time of war, refinery profit margins well above normal being passed directly onto American families are not acceptable. And so he said that he might use his emergency powers to force them to drill more and also to go after their profits. There was a senator from Washington State who came up with the idea that somehow you couldn't make more than a 10% margin. And if you made more, then the government would double tax you. So you'd be facing upwards of 40% taxes on any profits made after that, whatever the government thinks is acceptable. You do understand that this is, again, straight out of the playbook of a Hugo Chavez style regime. In other words, capitalism is actually supposed to be dictating that these companies do refine more. I mean, shouldn't they want to if they're making more money? Well, if they're going to make less money, which is what Biden is suggesting here, then you can understand they're not going to be so psyched about that, which is why these companies are concerned. He sent these letters, by the way, off to ExxonMobil, to Chevron, BP America, Shell USA, Phillips 66, Marathon, and Valero. And he said he was, quote, this is the president, prepared to use all reasonable and appropriate federal government tools and emergency authorities to increase petroleum refinery capacity and output. I mean, this is pretty bonker stuff, right? This is not in line, again, with our sort of capitalist foundations. This is in line with Hugo Chavez socialism. It's almost like Bernie Sanders had a hand in writing this thing, maybe AOC along the way. Anyway, people are calling his bluff. They know that this is frankly ridiculous. And you saw again today that the Chevron CEO came out and said, look, you're going to have to work with us, right? We're going to have to actually sit down and come up with some meaningful solutions because we do want to be able to drill more. Of course, it's become so difficult to do so, right, with all the red tape. Anyway, if it's not blaming big oil, apparently it's blaming American consumers and their darn demand. That's what the Fed is saying anyway. We're going to get to that in a second. But before we do, you know, I did mention gold. And gold is one of those investments you know that I love because I feel like it's the one thing you can kind of count on as your safe haven play, no matter what's going on. It's one of those investments that I look at as part of my portfolio. And I typically say, rule of thumb, you want somewhere between 1% and 5% of your portfolio in gold. And it's not something I sell. I mean, I just kind of hang on to it, right, for dear life. I think it really does help to mitigate inflation that's in our economy. And so that's sort of personally how I look at it, as one of those things that kind of helps just even out some of the fluctuations in terms of the volatility in the markets while simultaneously offering that protection, that hedge against inflation. You look at, for example, how much $100 would buy you today versus, say, 1972. It would get you well over $600 worth of today's goods back in 1972. So you've seen a massive depreciation. If you don't keep up with that over the long term, it has an effect. And when you think about the Federal Reserve and all their money printing and how they're shooting for at least 2 to 3% inflation every year after year, all that starts to accumulate. Not to mention when they're actually in the 8.6% stratosphere for consumer price inflation. Well, that adds a whole other level of challenges onto things. So this is why I believe in gold. You can look at different things. A gold-backed IRA, for example, is one way a lot of investors choose to go, or you can actually own the physical stuff. The real stuff, the actual goods themselves, like actual gold coins. In fact, I just learned the other day, this is amazing, that $1 million worth of gold coins can actually fit in a shoebox. Who knew? Anyway, give my friends over at Legacy Precious Metals, great, great group. Charles Thorngren runs the business. He's been on the show a bunch. You may have seen him here. Family-run business. They can help you navigate through all of this. 1-866-589-0560, 866-589-0560. Really, really great people. And they'll help you figure this out because it can be a little challenging. I get it. But gold matters right now, especially when you have a Federal Reserve that is blaming somehow, gosh, that darn American consumer and all their demand and all those supply chain crises for the problems we have now. Forget about their money printing. No, that has nothing to do with it, right? Here's Jerome Powell speaking on Capitol Hill today.
Are principally at work here. You couldn't get this kind of high inflation without strong demand, and you certainly couldn't get it without the kind of supply issues that we've had. both in the labor market reflected in high wages, and then in the goods market reflected in what's happened with durable goods and cars in particular. You look there, it's been driven by a semiconductor shortage.
Thank you, Chair Powell. Thank you.
Okay. So it's all that demand. Look, I get it. The demand is out there, right? We knew the demand was going to be out there. For goodness sakes, people were staying home, you know, for like a year and change. They were staying home. They weren't going anywhere. Of course, they had money saved and money to spend. So you knew that demand was going to happen. Let's not kid ourselves. Inflation was never, you know, transitory. It was always starting to get baked in, as I kept saying over and over and over again. And what helped it get baked in? It helped that the Federal Reserve was artificially suppressing interest rates for so long and pumping all this money, $120 billion a month, into our economy. That has consequences. So now the chairman of the Federal Reserve is saying, well, you know, we're serious. We mean business. We are going to fight this, and we're going to fight this by continuing to hike rates. Well, what happens when that goes down? It means money gets sucked out of the economy. It means that you pay more for your mortgage. Already mortgages are up over 5% right now. Biggest increase in many, many decades, like overnight. And then you have, well, the cost of car loan going up. You have the cost of credit card loans going up. In other words, it's more expensive to borrow. Now, on the one hand, yes, I get it. It's healthy. You actually need to do that right now. But did it have to be like this? Again, I'm going to go back to the oil thing. Did it have to be like this? Did Joe Biden really have to come down so hard on traditional energy companies when Americans we knew going to face higher and higher energy crisis, higher and higher energy prices, an increasingly large problem? I mean, you take that much oil supply and natural gas supply off the market, and you know it's going to result in higher prices. And so it's like nobody was really thinking this stuff through. And what bothers me is that everyday Americans are paying the price. Everyday Americans who have a certain amount of faith and trust in their leaders to at least maintain the status quo, keep us safe for goodness sakes, and don't allow inflation to eat away at everything we've ever earned. So I think that there will be some reckoning here. There's got to be some accountability. We look at the market, for example, midday, and look, I think investors are still trying to see how this will all settle out. I happen to be a little bit more on the bearish side, but with the caveat that if you have a long-term horizon, you do want to sharpen your pencil and start looking at things. I encourage you actually to go look at episodes 103 and 104, season 3, because I get into some of the things that you could look at, whether it be dividend stocks, whether it be even treasuries, or perhaps a muni bond portfolio. There's a whole different array of things that you could be looking at, in addition, of course, to gold and some of these other commodities that I like right now. But just know this, you got to protect yourself. You have to protect yourself, because clearly no one in Washington is willing to do it. No, they're too busy, you see, protecting themselves. Please make sure that you sign up for this. I'm here every single day, every day with you, at least 5 days a week. We are continuing to talk about the issues that are most pressing, policy issues, all right? Let's have smart discussions and talk about real stuff that actually matters for our country going forward. These guys have screwed up, and somebody's got to hold them accountable. Do sign up. Make sure that you download the full version of this podcast on Apple, iTunes, on Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll see you right back here tomorrow.